This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning, I'm John Hoffman. South Bend Mayor James Mueller is taking on public safety reform. He announced a couple of action items this week, one a proposal to ban the use of chokeholds.
That will be in the updated use of force policy draft expected to come out in the next couple of weeks. He also set a hopeful timeline to implement a police discipline matrix at the next Board of Public Safety meeting in July after a period of public comment. Chief of Police Scott Ruskowski says he supports having continued open conversations with everyone, so any policies that they implement are right. Police reform conversations happening at the national level are also happening in South Bend.
I hear the community's anger and pain as we approach the one-year anniversary of the death of Eric Logan, and we've seen countless horrific events unfold across the country.
Mayor James Mueller, Chief of Police Scott Ruskowski, and the city's Diversity and Inclusion Officer Michael Patton came together to lay out public safety goals. The first, a proposal to ban chokeholds.
We must make clear that what happened to George Floyd and others has no place in law enforcement and no place in our city.
Chief Ruskowski agrees, and policy will now specifically say officers can't use it.
That we have never used it, we have never taught it, never trained it, nor will we.
He says it's sad and sickening what happened to Eric Logan and what's happening now. And he says any officer who thinks what we saw is acceptable should turn in their badge. But he acknowledges that mistakes have been made and will be made. That's why he's pushing to continue community dialogue to build relationships so there's a mutual respect between police and citizens.
We are more than willing and more than open to have these conversations because we can't get it right unless people are telling us what we're getting wrong.
Mayor Mueller also says the city will look to expand on investing more in the community.
We will also move to address economic and other barriers to opportunity that have kept us farther apart and maintain the disparities over time.
If there's funding that needs to be removed for whatever reason in order to alleviate the jobs that we do that shouldn't be police related, absolutely. I don't think there's a cop in this country that would be against that, and I certainly am not.
Mayor Mueller says the city is working with 21CP to get recommendations for policies, training, and accountability, and will announce that date when it is set. He also said today that he's committed to creating a citizens review board. Now, I also asked the mayor about the impact of Common Council President Tim Scott's resignation. He told me he's confident that a replacement will be committed to making sure that these reforms happen.
WSBT 22's Caroline Torrey reporting. We continue to see coronavirus cases in St. Joseph County as businesses reopen and colleges get ready to welcome students back to campus in less than 2 months. The latest from St. Joseph County Deputy Health Officer Dr. Mark Fox on WSBT 22's First in the Morning.
We've actually been at some of our lowest hospitalization numbers over the last 2 weeks that we've seen really almost since people started being admitted to the hospital a couple months ago. So in terms of ICU capacity, ventilator capacity, we're in good shape right now. Although hospital censuses have gone up as more people have returned for kind of routine medical care and surgical procedures.
So the Elkhart County, I know you're not specifically in charge of Elkhart County, but you work in concert with the neighboring counties. Elkhart County has seen a spike in cases. We've talked about that, but they generally have the same scenario that the hospitalization rate seems to be for the most part under control. Goshen Hospital had a bit of an uptick. What does that tell you?
You know, I think in both St. Joseph County and in Elkhart, a lot of what we've seen are younger people, you know, a lot of people in their 40s and 50s that were infected and then many families infected as a result. But it was in general a younger cohort who by and large do better and so have fortunately not needed hospitalization at the rate that we've seen in some other communities.
Do you think it's possibly more testings available as well, and so we're just finding out more about these cases?
You know, there certainly is an increase in testing capacity, but I don't think it's solely attributable to that. I mean, I think there are genuine outbreaks. One thing is trying to track the source of an infection. Mm-hmm. And when the county's on lockdown, it's relatively easy because you should be pretty much staying at home unless you're a frontline worker. Now that people are out and about more, that's going to become much more challenging, and so it's hard to know where people are getting exposed.
Yeah, talk about contact tracing and how successful we've been in this area or lack thereof.
Yeah, so since this started back in March, Yeah, the county, our public health nurses have been doing all the contact tracing and I think did a pretty good job under some challenging circumstances. We had to devote a whole lot of nursing staff to do that work, and we don't have the best information sharing resources. Then in mid-May, the state took over. They implemented their contact tracing team. So it's all centralized now through the Indiana State Department of Health. And we get kind of back-end reports when they can't contact people or in certain settings, in congregate living settings or something, we'll get a notification. So their information resources are certainly much stronger, but there's not the same local attention. And there's still some challenges with information sharing. So the jury's still out, I think, in fact, we have a meeting today with the State Department of Health about contact tracing to provide them some feedback from a local perspective.
And try to get a better operating system, that you can all utilize.
Especially as we look at residential colleges coming back. I think having a really robust contact tracing mechanism in that setting is gonna be critically important.
We're hearing now that basically every state in the country is reopened at some level or another, some completely reopened. A number of states, especially in the South, Arizona's being hard hit, seeing a surge in not only numbers, but also in hospitalizations as well. There's real concern in places like Phoenix. What are they doing differently than we're doing to have different outcomes?
My sense is the pace of their reopening was different. Some of the expectations in terms of public health orders were not implemented there. I also think just attitude of leadership makes a big difference because people take their cues from that. And whether it's, you look at Four Winds Casino that's really implementing some pretty serious protocols around sanitation and distancing and things. So I think they're taking some cues that are important in how people reengage. I'm not sure that that's been the case uniformly across the country.
What's giving you optimism and what keeps you awake at night?
That we haven't seen a big surge in cases with the reopening has been reassuring, although I know that this will ramp up over time. But it'll ramp up at a time that Kerry brings us hot, humid weather. So that will, thanks Kerry for that. That'll help suppress things for a while. But I worry as we get to the fall, with colleges coming back, with the reintroduction of cooler weather, and the advent of just a typical flu season, and having flu and COVID commingled is going to be a real challenge, I think.
Dr. Mark Fox, thanks very much for being with us.
Dr. Fox appeared on Monday's WSBT 22 First in the Morning. It's worth recapping coronavirus safety basics as people get more active and things reopen more and more. We get some tips from infectious disease expert Dr. Rosemary Olivero at Spectrum Health.
I asked the doctor about several activities, and a full list is online, but if you don't remember each individual one, she says the common themes are to hang out in small groups, wash your hands after touching things, and if you're going to have social gatherings, do it outside.
Outside, you generally have an endless supply of clean air. When you're indoors, some of those infectious particles can linger in the air, especially if you're close to another person.
Outdoor activities have some of the lowest risk. Dr. Olivero says going to a public pool or the beach gets the green light, but watch your kids if they make friends easily and might get too close.
It's trying to limit the contact with your children and other, other children that may be strangers and you don't really know what kind of practices they're upholding.
Hotels, also very safe. Just avoid the breakfast buffet because lots of people are touching things there. Dr. Olivero ranked public restrooms as medium to low risk. To make it safer, try to use hands-free dispensers and open the door using a paper towel instead of your bare hands. Road trips with another family are medium low.
When you're interacting with another family or traveling with another family, you really have to be on the same page for what you think is appropriate and inappropriate.
Airplanes, also medium risk. Dining in a restaurant, medium to high risk, and it's much safer if you sit outside. Casinos for adults and playgrounds for kids, both higher risk because of the surfaces everyone is touching. And the highest risk by far are bars and amusement parks. The combination of crowds and shared surfaces make it all too easy to spread any sort of germs there.
You're going to be near crowded areas, or especially near people who are more vulnerable. Experts still recommend wearing a mask, of course. If you put it on, think of it as a courtesy to others. There's less of a chance that you could accidentally spread the virus to them.
WSBT 22, Selena Guevara reporting. South Bend Schools is trying to get back into compliance with a nearly 40-year-old consent decree on equal treatment for students of all races.
That will be in the updated use of force policy draft expected to come out in the next couple of weeks. He also set a hopeful timeline to implement a police discipline matrix at the next Board of Public Safety meeting in July after a period of public comment. Chief of Police Scott Ruskowski says he supports having continued open conversations with everyone so any policies that they implement are right. Police reform conversations happening at the national level are also happening in South Bend.
I hear the community's anger and pain as we approach the one-year anniversary of the death of Eric Logan, and we've seen countless horrific events unfold across the country.
Mayor James Mueller, Chief of Police Scott Ruskowski, and the city's Diversity and Inclusion Officer Michael Patton came together to lay out public safety goals. The first, a proposal to ban chokeholds.
We must make clear that what happened to George Floyd and others has no place in law enforcement and no place in our city.
Chief Ruskowski agrees, and policy will now specifically say officers can't use it.
That we have never used it, we have never taught it, never trained it, nor will we.
He says it's sad and sickening what happened to Eric Logan and what's happening now. And he says any officer who thinks what we saw is acceptable should turn in their badge. But he acknowledges that mistakes have been made and will be made. That's why he's pushing to continue community dialogue to build relationships so there's a mutual respect between police and citizens.
We are more than willing and more than open to have these conversations because we can't get it right unless people are telling us what we're getting wrong.
Mayor Mueller also says the city will look to expand on investing more in the community.
We will also move to address economic and other barriers to opportunity that have kept us farther apart and maintain the disparities over time.
If there's funding that needs to be removed for whatever reason in order to alleviate the jobs that we do that shouldn't be police related, absolutely. I don't think there's a cop in this country that would be against that, and I certainly am not.
Mayor Mueller says the city is working with 21 CP to get recommendations for policies, training, and accountability, and will announce that date when it is set. He also said today that he's committed to creating a citizens review board. Now, I also asked the mayor about the impact of Common Council President Tim Scott's resignation. He told me he's confident that a replacement will be committed to making sure that these reforms happen.
WSBT 22's Lauren Becker reporting. The American Red Cross is now testing people's blood donations for coronavirus antibodies.
Whenever someone goes to donate blood, plasma, or platelets, the Red Cross will test the donations for the antibodies. This will let doctors know how many people have been exposed to the coronavirus.
Red Cross blood drives will now be another place where you can get tested for coronavirus antibodies. Your blood makes antibodies when it fights an infection like the coronavirus. According to the Red Cross, antibody testing will say if the donor's immune system has produced antibodies to the coronavirus, even if they haven't had any symptoms.
Health department wants better numbers to kind of have a better idea who has been exposed.
Amira Dadich works for the Red Cross. She says you won't have to do anything different while giving blood to be tested for antibodies.
The blood donation is the same at the end of the process of giving blood. We take tubes for testing, and it will be off of those.
Dadich says you will be notified in 7 to 10 days if you have the antibodies. She says the county health department will also be notified. Dadich says if your blood did show antibodies, you could be a convalescent plasma donor to help treat someone fighting coronavirus. Dr. Mark Fox with the St. Joseph County Health Department says if you have coronavirus antibodies, it doesn't necessarily mean you're immune to the virus.
You know, there's some thought that you may be able to be reinfected, just like with the common cold. But you can get the common cold year after year. There's concern that coronavirus could be like that.
The Red Cross says the antibody test should take about 7 to 10 days. If you're interested in donating blood, you need to make an appointment at redcross.org.
WSBT 22's Bree Isom reporting.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on the Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.